Continue our lesson and the sermon title for the past few weeks on Christ is prayer. The prayer of Christ as found in John chapter 17. And this title for today is Christ's Prayer Part 3, because we actually did parts 1 and 2. Part 2 was done last week and it's part 3 of that today. Now in part 1, we looked on verse 1 through to verse 5. And just for your memory, just for to review what we did last week, in verse 1 to verse 5 of John chapter 17, we saw where Christ was praying for himself. And that is telling us there's nothing wrong in praying for ourselves, because Christ is a pattern for us, a model, and he prayed for himself. But this prayer for himself, we saw that last week. You can't separate it from what he was about to do. This prayer for himself was bound up with his mission. His mission was to ensure that he carried out his Father's will. And in carrying out his Father's will, church, he secured eternal salvation for us. That is a blessing. Amen. Right. So what we saw, what he prayed for himself, yes, but bound up, intertwined with that, was his carrying out of his Father's plan to secure eternal salvation for us. Now we see that this plan, the cross, he knew he was going to face the cross. Am I right, church? Yes. But this cross now was to be also the victory. This cross was to give us victory. And therefore, Christ now would be glorified through his suffering. He'll be glorified through his suffering. And he'll be glorified, Brother Morrison, through his awesome resurrection. What a blessing we have. So he's glorified through his suffering and he's glorified through his resurrection. The prayer of last week that we saw brings out that special relationship of Father and Son. We saw that last week, right, Sister Martin? See your boy in your head. Father and Son of Christ and his Father. He addressed him as his Father. Now, that relationship is very important because that relationship kept coming up over and over in the prayer from verse 1 to 5. This relationship, Christ is praying to his Father that God has given him, the Son, the power to give us eternal what? Eternal life. The power to give us eternal life. And this eternal life was to know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. Christ didn't tie it to any duration. Because it don't make any sense, church, if we are living eternally and we don't have Christ and his Father. Am I correct? So the eternal life is to know the true God and Jesus Christ, his Son. We Christians know we spend a never ending. We can't even begin to fathom it because we live in time. But we are going to be in a never ending period in a rich and meaningful relationship with the Father and the Son, where we are going to be joined heirs with Christ. Let me say it again. Amen. We are going to be living in a never ending, it will never end, Alethea. Never end, it's eternity. But it makes sense and it is meaningful because we know we have a relationship with the Father and the Son. And we are joint heirs as well. Now, there are many others who are going to live forever also, but their experience will not be rich and meaningful. And it is those who don't know Christ. It's those who don't know God. So they have a life also that's going on and on and on. But it's not that kind of eternal life that Christians are going to have. We as Christians are going to have that eternal life bound up in a relationship with the Father and his Son. So we saw that last week. So, last week again, we saw where the Son is going to ask for glory for himself. That glory was going to be intertwined and bound up with carrying out his Father's plan, Father's will, to secure for us salvation, eternal salvation. That relationship now is where we are going to be with the Father and the Son forever. Right? Now, today's topic, we're going to see where Christ is going to pray now for the apostles, those special men that he had, his special disciples. He's not praying for the entire world now, and that section of the prayer is not a prayer for us, but the principles that he prayed for the apostles is very important also for us. But that prayer from verse 6 to verse 19 is not for us. That prayer was for the disciples or the apostles specifically. But what can we learn from this section? Now, this section, church, is long and it's from verse 6 to verse 19. What I have done is going to, this week, we're going to look at it from verse 6 to verse 12. Because I don't want to go over the time, right? So we're going to be looking at it from verse 6 to verse 12. And then next week now, we pick up verse 13 to verse 19. That sounds like a good idea, Brother Bede? I think so. Right. So verse 6 to verse 12 today. Now, before we actually go to the verses now, church, what do we expect to see coming out from these verses, from verse 6 to verse 12? We're going to be expecting to see certain things. But before we even go to that, why is it important for us to know what Christ prayed for his apostles? You know why? These apostles, Brother Bean, are going to be the ones that will lead us, lead the church. Their words are going to have authority for us. Am I right, church? Yes. These are the words of the apostles that the church follows. Remember Christ says when he was asking the Holy Spirit to come, and he says, I'm going to ask for the Holy Spirit to come and he'll bring back words to you. So these men now, the apostles, are the ones who are going to lead the church. They're going to start off. Peter preached the first Pentecostal, the first sermon, the day of what? Pentecost, right? So it's very important for us to understand why Christ has to pray for these men, because these men are going to be the leaders. And the leaders are awesome responsibility for the leaders to lead the church, to start the church. So he has to pray for them. What is going to come up now in his prayer? Christ is going to reveal some of the qualities of these men to God. God knows about them already. But in our prayer, sometimes we still say things that God knows about already. We know that God knows everything. But God still expects us when we are praying to him to still say it. Let me say it again. He knows your pain. He knows your sorrow. He knows your joy. He still wants you to say it to him. True? Yes. He still wants you to communicate with him. So God knows everything about these men that Christ was following Christ. But Christ is going to tell God again things about these men. So we are going to see coming up some of the qualities that these men had. And very important for us to, you know. So the qualities that these men had. We're going to see also in his prayer, we're going to look out for that, that Christ is not just a good man. Let me let that sink in. Some religious people like us to believe that Christ was, yes, a good man, but he was not the son of what? God. We're going to see in this prayer that Christ had a pre-existence, that Christ existed before the world. We're going to see that in the prayer clearly. We're going to see in the prayer that Christ and his Father made certain arrangements, certain plans, right, for that would involve us. We're going to see that in the prayer. We're going to see in the prayer, we're going to see this thing about ownership, that God is going to own something. He created everybody, so he owns everybody, yes. But a special ownership is going to come out in the prayer. That Christ, that God owns us. We belong to him. And church, because we belong to him, we're going to have awesome blessings from that. You shouldn't go through life fretting and worrying. The human condition will come, yes. But you shouldn't just always give in to those kind of human condition of worrying and fretting all the time, because you have a father, you know, who you belong to. You have a father who you belong to, and he is going to look out for your best interest. You may not understand everything that you're going through, but in all of it, I think there's a song that says, I don't remember the song, but the meaning of the song is that somewhere along the line, we are going to understand everything. I think you might know the song, Carrie. We will understand. I think right along, know the song. We're going to understand. Sorry? When morning comes. Thank you, brother. You're going to understand everything. You're not going to understand the suffering you're going through, you know. The sickness, the illness, all of those things you're going through now. You may not understand, why am I going through all of this now? But you'll understand it eventually. Just have faith that God, you belong to God. So in this prayer, Christ is going to talk about ownership, that the apostles belong to the Father. He's going to talk about how we keep that relationship going. It's very important that we keep the relationship going. And therefore, he's going to use words like kept or keeping or keep. It's very important that we know, how do we keep this relationship that we have. It's important to keep it. So in Christ's prayer, you're going to see how this was kept. Let me say it again. What are we to expect now from verse 6 to verse 12? One more time. For those of you who are writing, I see, I know Alisa likes to write all these things, and I'm glad that you do that from time to time. From verse 6 to verse 12, what are we to expect? We are going to see some of the qualities of the apostles. The qualities of the apostles. We're going to see that Christ had a pre-existence. He's not just a good man, he is God the Son. We're going to see that he and the Father had plans for us from long time before the creation of the world. We're going to see the concept of ownership, that we belong to the Father, and therefore, church, we're going to get blessings. Even in this life, we're going to get blessings. We're going to see the concept of the word kept or keeping. What are we supposed to keep? So in order for the relationship to continue, we're going to see all of that in the passage of scripture of verse 6 to verse 12. Let us turn our Bibles to it now. Verse 6 says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. Very important. And they have kept thy word. Verse 7 says, now they have known that all things whatsoever you have given me are of you, are of thee. Verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which you gave me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from you, and they have believed that you have sent me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. He's not praying for the world yet. He's praying for them. But for them with which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Verse 10, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but they are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name, thou who hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Let us now go to each verse to see what we can what? Learn now from each verse. So it's a simple treatment of it, where we are just going to go verse by verse to see what spiritual truth we can get from this passage. So go to verse 6 for me now, Brother Fisher, please. I'll read it one more time, but stop at each time. I'm going to stop you at each point.
I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world.
It's important that you what Christ is saying here in the prayer. In the prayer here, he has used a strong word here. He has said that he has what? Manifested God's name unto the men which God gave him. And we know that even in the Old Testament, there were glimpses of God's nature. Men could see certain things about God from the Old Testament. But the Bible says grace and truth came by who? Jesus Christ. So this time now, the fullness of God's attributes, the fullness of God's character, the fullness of God's mercy, the fullness of God's plan is made what now? Manifest. Clearly seen now through Jesus Christ. He's the one that made it clearly seen, because he starts the verse by saying, I, Christ, have manifested your name. Now, name here don't mean just Jehovah. It means all the qualities about God. Sometimes the Bible uses name in that sense. That means whatever captures the personality of the person. So I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Without Christ, it would not be possible to know about the fullness of God. The Bible teaches that, you know, all through the Bible. It is Christ that made possible the knowledge of God. So he said, I've manifested thy name unto the men which you gave me out of the world. How did God the Father give him these men? Very important again now, very important principle. God gave him these men out of providence. And that is why Brother Kidu always went along talk about the providence of God. God chose these men out of providence. You are not here in this building by accident. It was by God's what? Providence. Many years ago, when Brother Mitchell was a young man, he didn't know about starting a congregation here in Patrick City. But things just unfolded. But when things are unfolding, you know, it is a providence of God at work. So he gave me, what Christ is saying, you gave me these men out of the world. They came out of the world. These special men who you provided for me. Providence. In your prayers, believe in the providence of God. Thine they were, and you gave them to me. You gave these people to me. And listen about them now. And they have what, Brother Fisher?
And they have kept thy word.
And they have kept thy word, they have kept it. It is important in your prayers, you're praying to God, yes, but it's important that you make sure, brothers and sisters, you keep this. It is important you keep the word. What do you mean by keeping the word? You mean hug up the Bible, Sister Marty, like this, I'm keeping it. It doesn't mean this. It doesn't mean hug up the Bible, so I'm keeping it. What does it mean, keeping the word? So we're learning something about these men, you know. Remember I tell you, so in the prayer, we're going to learn something about these men. These are men who respect the word, Brother Peart. They obey the word. They trust the word. That's how they keep it. Trust and obey is a theme right throughout the Bible. From Old Testament to New Testament, they have kept the word. They realize the seriousness of the word. They realize the treasure of the word. They realize the value of the word. So they keep it. If they don't keep the word, then their lives are meaningless and have no value whatsoever. So it's important that as Christians that we keep the word. They have kept it. So he has provided, he has manifested his name unto these people. They know about God. And remember, you know, they were going to have a mission to write these New Testament scriptures, you know. Don't forget that. These are the men who are going to write the epistles. So they had to have the manifest. They had to have manifest knowledge of God to write the epistles. To write the epistles. And they were given to Christ by providence. By God's providence. Look at verse 7 now, Brother Fisher.
Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee.
These men know the source, church, of everything. Who is the source of everything in our lives, church? God. And when we know that we have the being in the most powerful being, and he is a source of everything that we have. And then on top of that, church, we have a relationship with him. Right? He is our what? Father. They don't necessarily go through life envying other people things. They don't have the true treasure. We have it. So these men, these apostles, they knew the treasure. They knew that everything comes from the who? From the Father. Not some things, you know. All things whatsoever you have given me are of you. Verse 8.
For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest.
Stop right there, sir. Remember I said to you before, the prayer is going to show Christ is what? Pre-existence. That Christ existed before the world even began. Right? So there was some kind of conversation taking place. Am I right? Yes. For he says here, for I have given unto them the words which you gave me. When did God give him these words? So you see, there is some conversation taking place. Christ has been given some words from the Father. And it's not just when he was on earth. So we know that he has a pre-existence. He's going to go further and strengthen that. For I've given unto them the word which you what? Gave me. Continue for me.
And they have received them.
And they have what? These special men, Brother Peard, did not reject the word that Christ gave them. That's what made the difference between even us and the people in the world, you know. We have accepted the word. That makes a world of difference. Right? The word which you gave me. Continue.
And I've known surely.
Stop. Stop right there. There is something that these men know. There is something that these men know. And they know it how? Surely is something of certainty. They don't just know that Christ was a good teacher. They're not just saying that Christ was a good man. It's not just Christ is a righteous man. What do they know surely, Brother Fisher? Say that little part again, that I came out from thee. Read it two times.
And have known surely that I came out from thee. And have known surely that I came out from thee.
God the Son. Christ is pre-existence. Do you see that, church? He did not just have a life here on earth. He came directly from the Father in a way that no human being has ever done before. So he had a pre-existence. And these apostles, these men, that's why they could write that way, you know. So they could write that way. And they even died as well. I remember when Brother Fisher myself was doing the school of preaching course. A lot of epistles are coming back to me, Brother Fisher, that course that we did. These men, they really could go through what they did because they knew surely that Christ came from God. And not only that, what else they say? And they have what?
And they have believed.
They have believed that you have what? Sent me. Pre-existence. Christ's divinity. Not an ordinary man. He is God the Son. He existed before. And these people believe it. Now, why is praying for them? Because their writings now, church. Listen carefully now. How we come in now. I don't come to us yet, but we have to give a little preview. We believe in their writings. There's a song that said, we were not there. Cover that song there, no more. But we didn't see where you walked that path. We didn't see where you did this. We were not there. But we believe. So we believe in turn now. We are going to believe what the apostles have written. And they believe because they saw, they know that Christ came from God. And that he gave them certain words. And they believe those words, church. Verse 9.
I pray for them.
I pray for them. He's emphasizing it again. He's emphasizing. I pray for them. And if you don't understand, he's going to say something else.
I pray not for the world.
At this point in my prayer, at this phase in my prayer, I'm not praying for the entire world. I'm praying for these men. He has to pray for them now. Can you remember I said to you, they are going to be the leaders. They are going to be the one that's starting up everything when Christ gone back. They are the ones that is going to start everything. So he has to pray for them. Continue.
I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine.
They are dying. And we know why they are dying. You know. They are yours, God, because they have kept thy word. They believe, so they belong to God. Verse 10.
And all mine are thine.
All mine are thine.
And thine are mine.
And thine are mine.
And I am glorified in them.
I am glorified in them. This was time Christ talk about glorify and glorification. The work of the apostles but appeared is going to bring glorification again to Christ. And we bring glorification to him in our brother along when we do the work that he has set the church to do. We glorify Christ. The Bible talks about that all over the place. It's nothing new. Verse 11.
And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world.
Stop a second for me. Christ is speaking now as if they know I'm not in the world, as if it happened right away. But he will speak at the future. He's coming to the end of his ministry. Am I right, Brother Fisher? Coming to the end of the ministry. And he says, I'm not going to be in the world much longer. I know I am no more in the world. But I have to pray for these men because they are going to be behind. They are going to be left behind. But he said about, but these are what?
In the world.
These are in the world. Continue. This is coming to another point again, Elaine. This is coming to another one again. I have so much time. I have no brother Pete. You have to give me some. Can you keep the sun? Can you keep the 5 minutes, brother Pete? I have 5 minutes. Oh my. This is hard. 5 minutes. How can I do this now? 5 minutes. I'm going to try. He's leaving now, right? He's no longer in the world, but he's leaving them in the world. I know the world is at enmity. Even today, we experience it as Christians, you know. The world is not our place, you know. The qualities and the values that we have, the world is enmity to that. The world tolerate the Christians. Because we show them up, you know, the world doesn't really like us that much. So it's the same thing here now. They are going to be left in the world. And he's praying for them. He said, Father, keep. Say the word keep here again. Keep. Keep through thine own name. I'm going to rely on your Father to keep them. To keep them. In thy own name. Thou whom thou hast given me, keep them. We need to have them kept. Because the mission for them is important. That they may be what?
One as we are.
They may be what? As we are. As we are. That already get rid of denominations. That already get rid of denominations. Because the way, what he says, you know, he says these apostles are going to be one. The same manner in which we have the oneness of God. The same way the Father and the Son are one. In that same way, where there are no disagreements, there's no discord, there's no different approaches to take. The Father and the Son are one. The apostles are going to be one in the same manner, in the same way. As we are, you can't leave with that little phrase now we're teaching people. That little phrase, as we are, is important. Don't just stop and say that they may be one and stop there. So when you're teaching, say, as we are, and you link the oneness to the oneness of God. Go on further. The last verse, I think I have 2 minutes or something. While I was with them in the world,
I kept them
in your name. Hear the keeping again. In your name. Continue. I have what? Kept them.
And none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled.
That son of perdition is Judas. That son of perdition is Judas. And the word perdition means destruction or ruin. Judas bit at himself. Judas never repented, you know. When Judas realized he did wrong, Judas went and did what? Committed suicide. So he has sealed his eternity right there by committing suicide. He never really repent. So he's a son of perdition. Let us review in a few seconds. Better be in a few seconds. Let us review in a few seconds. What are we seeing now in this verse 6 to verse 12? We have seen the qualities of the apostles. These are men who by God's, God allowed them, you know, to be chosen. They are chosen of God, and they have certain qualities where they keep the word. They have kept the word. They believe in Christ. They knew that he came from God, that he was the Son of God. That's why Peter said, "Thou art the what? The Christ, the Son of the living God." We see from the verse that Christ existed before he came from the Father, and there were plans made before the world to redeem mankind. We have seen that. We see that we belong to God. The apostles belong to God. The principle can come for us also later down the prayer. We see that. And we see that it is possible for us to keep the word when we obey and trust the word. Thank you very much, church, for your patience. And how much time? I went over a little bit, no? Oh, perfect. All right, thanks.